One of the things that our modern naturalistic age tells us incessantly is that man's original state of nature was that of polyspirituality and polysexuality, random, amoral behavior both spiritually and sexually. It tells us that monotheism and monogamy were social conventions invented and imposed on society to further the survival and evolution of the species. And it now tells us that neither has any real truth to them, but are convenient fictions, and further, that they have outlived their evolutionary youthfulness. After all, they are repressive of our freedom, of our self-identity, of our self-actualization, and of our self-fulfillment. But the Bible presents to us something very, very different. The Bible tells us that our original state was not one of polymorphous spirituality or sexuality. The Bible tells us that we were created for monogamy in two ways, spiritually and sexually. We were created for monogamy spiritually toward the one true God. We are to worship Him, give Him our highest praise and love and allegiance, and serve Him in covenant faithfulness. And reflective of that, we are to have sexual monogamy toward our husband or our wife in covenant faithfulness, reflective of the spiritual monogamy that we owe to the one true God. The Bible, throughout the Old Testament, continually presents idolatry as adultery. That's what God calls it again and again and again. And one of the things that we see in the Bible is that when we turn away from spiritual monogamy toward the one true God, it's just a matter of time before we will jettison sexual monogamy toward our husband or a wife, until we end up experiencing the kind of polymorphic spirituality and sexuality that we see in our culture today. This is why Paul in Romans 1, when he's talking about the death spiral of humanity as it is turning away from God, he describes it as a kind of a two-step dance, spiritually and sexually. We turn away from the one true God. We commit adultery spiritually against Him. What's the result that Paul always points out? It is a sexual result, and it is inevitable. And so we see, really, the Bible presents us not sexual monogamy as being something that is repressive or restrictive, any more than spiritual monogamy toward God is repressive or restrictive. Actually, they are portals to freedom. They are portals to blessing. Indeed, the Bible tells us that marriage is not a function of human sexuality. Rather, it is the other way around. Human sexuality is a function of marriage. It also means that marital fidelity is not ultimately about denying ourselves of pleasure, but about indulging ourselves in a higher pleasure. We see this kind of reasoning in Psalm 16, which is one of the messianic psalms. It's one of the psalms that pointed forward to the resurrection. And so this is not only the prayer of David, it's really the prayer of Jesus. As he trusted in the Father, going to the cross, looking forward to the resurrection pursuant to the Father's promise, he said, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." This is what Chesterton had in mind when he said in his book Orthodoxy, "I could never mix in the common murmur of that rising generation against monogamy, because no restriction on sex seems so odd and unexpected as sex itself. Keeping to one woman It's a small price for so much as seeing one woman. To complain that I could only be married once was like complaining that I had only been born once. It showed not an exaggerated sensibility to sex, but a curious insensibility to it. A man is a fool who complains that he cannot enter Eden by five gates at once. Until we understand this, until we embrace this, we will never truly embrace fidelity, either spiritually or sexually. Indeed, we will never truly embrace God's will or reject sin in any area. We will never get it. We will never understand with the Lord Jesus that at God's right hand are pleasures forevermore, indeed. Amen.